is a classic Cult TV club where we watch Cult TV from 2001 and before. And we're here with Angus.
Hello.
Gypsy.
No.
Oh, Lisa. Hi.
Lisa.
Smoke me a kipper. I'll be back for breakfast.
Yeah. And Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin, and today we're finally watching Red Dwarf.
I've been resisting for, like, how long have we been doing this malarkey for, but...
Yeah.
Oh.
Red Dwarf, finally.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very excited, very apprehensive.
Yeah, so we're watching Season 5, Episode 4, which is Quarantine.
Which was probably when Red Dwarf was in its peak.
Yeah.
It was in its... That was when it really got... more mainstream prominence. It was getting a lot of attention. It was becoming a real hit, really.
Yeah. And it was winning awards. From there is when it started going down.
Yeah.
Up and down.
Yeah, it was up and down episode by episode.
What, season five or just generally from then on?
I didn't dislike any of it, really. It was hit and miss, but it was always hit and miss. So I think there's still some good episodes. I liked when they were back on the spaceship. Some of those episodes were
good. I didn't.
I know. I know a lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's what we always wanted. You know, I used to romanticise about Kachansky coming back and, you know, because I was like, there's not enough women on the ship. You know, they need a female influence on the ship. You know, that's not a romantic interest, so to speak. And then they did it and it just kind of went, And then they got back on the ship. They found Red Dwarf. There's more characters for them to interact with. You know, it was ultimately when it was the four of them there.
Yeah.
That was when it was at its best.
At its best, yes. Mm. Yeah. It was always just
and what was it? It was season 9 when they went to prison.
No,
season eight.
When they went to prison.
Yeah.
Season 9 was back to Earth.
I actually didn't mind
that.
Yeah.
Back to Earth was so terrible.
The reason was to get Rimmer and Lister back in one room talking and riffing off each other because that was what always worked.
That was the gold,
yeah. Red Dwarf, of course, is about a group of people lost in space, I guess.
3 million years
into the future with Lister, Cat, who is the evolved
Cat
stowed away on the ship.
Felis Sapien? Yeah.
So that was Danny John-Jules, Craig Charles as Lister, Robert Luenas, the sanitation droid Crichton, Norman Lovett as Holly, although there was also...
You missed Chris Barry.
And we missed Chris Barry as Rimmer, You know, I guess one of the features I thought that made the comedy really good was when they were just chatting.
Yes.
And so that's why I liked that season 8, because they actually went back to... just them in the cell at the beginning of each episode. The cell was them just chatting.
I feel like that season was when Grant Naylor split up and it became Rob Grant left, Doug Naylor took on the reins. And it's interesting, like I've got the books here and so you've got the first two books and then they both split off and did their own version of a third book.
Yeah.
And Rob Grant... version I think is a lot better than Doug Naylor's, and I think that nailed it for me with the show. Like it was just when it was just Doug Naylor looking after it, I feel like it missed something that it had when it was the two of them collaborating together.
That's just me.
Because that often happens with media, is that the stuff that makes it good early on and things change and you don't have the same crew as before, it's not going to be as special.
Yeah. And it's hard. There's very few shows that can stand that test of time and stand that evolution.
I also like the other Holly, which was Hattie Heyridge.
Hattie Heyridge was the first stand-up comedian I ever saw live.
Stand-up?
And I thought she was pretty good.
It was one of the Fringe shows in the mid-90s, and I was so excited that she was coming that Dad went and took me to go see it.
Is it bad that when you said the actor's name of Holly, it meant absolutely nothing to me, and I still didn't know whether you were talking about the male Holly or the female Holly? You throw out names and I don't get it.
Love it. That will never
be remembered.
Yeah.
Irrelevant information to my brain.
It's passed on already. In one ear, out the other.
It's irrelevant.
But yeah, Hattie Heyridge was really good live. Yeah. She was a really good comedian. And it was really cool to meet her years later at one of the conventions and actually tell her that, I was one of the first. And she remembered the venue and she remembered the time when she'd come and all the rest of it. And she's like going, how old would you have been? And I was like, you're probably about 16 at the time. So, yeah. Yeah, she was good. She's got that really deadpan sense of humour and a really deadpan delivery. And I think that was one of the reasons why she got the role, was because Norman Lovett was going to step away and he'd been given his own sitcom, which didn't last.
Yeah.
And they were looking for a replacement. And I think in the Edinburgh Fringe guide, they'd actually described her as the female version of Norman Lovett, like as in her comedy timing and her delivery and that. So obviously she looks nothing like him, but they said that she's like the female version. So they went, let's check her out. And they went, yeah, no, she is like the female version. Let's take her on for one role. And then she did that one role for Parallel Universe.
Yes.
And then when Norman Lovett stepped away, they actually brought her in for the role. But yeah, I found it interesting. I don't know whether you guys, what your thoughts were, but I think both Hollies were good.
Yeah,
and yeah, I agree.
I never had an issue with the change.
No.
And then even the change back. Like,
I think the reason I stopped watching.
What, because it?
Because it changed. I like the original Holly.
You like the male Holly?
Yeah, I didn't like the changeover. I felt like they were trying to force it too much and being a lot more gender inclusive, which is a weird thing to say, but it started out the way it was and I thought it was fine. And then they started messing with the formula and I was just, I was done, basically. So I think I watched like up to season 3 tops. And
I was going to say, watching. It was quite early in the piece when they changed over to the female Holly.
Yeah.
I think as well, like after that point, she starts basically not appearing because the exposition stuff was given to Crichton.
And that's how she left, because they just went, well, we don't actually need you. Your role's done by Crichton now, so.
So like, say by 5th season, she's not even in it.
No, and that's when they went over to Starbug and her role was, because basically
there we go. I watched up until the 5th season.
Right.
I did not enjoy the Starbug changeover. Either.
Yeah. I think one of my favourite seasons was season 1.
Yes. Actually, season 2 and 3, I think, were really, I really enjoyed. They're kind of, and I think part of the appeal of it was they'd been told that they had to keep it low budget. They said, look, sci-fi shows, they usually tend to be really high budget. We end up, I think the phrase was literally, we end up filming somewhere out in Wales in the middle of a quarry and Doctor Who. And they said, we just want to keep it as low budget as possible. Mm. And I think the first episode was like on a set and in the BBC cafeteria. So the scene where they're having the funeral is actually set in the cafeteria. And, and it was only then later when they started kind of making bigger sets and bigger scenes and mucking around with it more.
Well, now they've got a big budget.
Yeah, that's it. And it kind of lost it a bit with their bigger budget. It's a bit,
it's like shy but no substance. It seems to happen a lot. It's
And like from when they did a updated version and they started putting more like computer graphics and, you know, and things like that. And they actually took away from the original.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, even the time I saw it was we taped it off to TV in 97 in the updated version. And so looking back, like, I remember the updated version more than the real version, which is annoying because, well, not annoying, but it's kind of weird that, especially for example in Better Than Life, there's like 1 minute's worth of episode they cut out.
Yes, I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah, and that bothered me. I ended up going back and was able to see all the bits they cut. And I'm like, why did they cut that and replace that with computer animation of the ship? Makes no sense.
And
it's not like it was controversial or unfunny. It was, they just slashed it for no reason, just because it's like, oh, people want, what do we call it, the spaceship porn? You know, the slimo.
It's a version so it's less British, so a couple of the jokes are very jokes that you can get if you didn't live in Britain in the 80s. One that I basically got for osmosis, but the kind of same kind of jokes, because like I was watching it at the right age where certain references in The Simpsons, for example, went over my head because I wasn't an American kid. And same deal with a lot of the references in Red Dwarf, but I just dealt with it.
That's it. Yeah. And I think that's maybe that's a bit of an Australian thing as well. Like in Australia, we're we're just used to dealing with English comedy and American comedy. And if we don't get the reference, it's fine. We just move on.
But they wanted to get to an American audience, so they had to change a few of the jokes. So just...
Have you seen any of the US pilots?
Oh, yes, on
There's
YouTube.
There's two, and they're both awful.
US pilots?
Yes.
What, different actors or the same actors?
I think Crichton's the only character that's the same. All of the rest are different. There's a female cat.
Okay. Played by Terry Farrell.
Terry Farrell, and it's just really bad. None of them lasted past the pilot episode because they were just abysmal. Yeah. But they are on YouTube and they are a lot of fun to hate watch. Yeah. So maybe that could be a special for us. We can sit there and hate watch the pilots.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's the reason why.
Right now we love watching.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody really dislikes.
No. Yeah. Gypsy.
Gypsy dislikes it a bit.
Yeah.
So I know I'm probably inundating the conversation at the moment, but so when I grew up, I don't even know how it happened, but my next door neighbor, I think her parents taped it. They were taping something and it was at the end of something. And I remember going around to her place once and she was like, oh yeah, I'm watching this show. And I'm like, what show is it? And she's saying, oh, it's about these people and they're trapped on a spaceship, but it's really funny. And they're just the worst versions of each person. Like they're just, you know, so he's like the hero, but all he does is eat curries and he's really gross. And then he's like, you know, and I'm like going, okay, well, I'm not doing anything. And you know, you're sitting around in your pajamas. So let's watch it. And so we watched it and it turned into this tradition. So every Saturday morning, I used to get up, get ready and race over to my next door neighbor's house. And she would record it and we would sit there together in her lounge room and we would watch the episodes. And it became a thing that we used to do together. And then we'd be gutted, like, because obviously it's only six episodes per season. Yeah. And they'd go around and it was like, oh no, it wasn't on tonight. Or it was, you know, oh God, what were some of the shows that used to be on? El McFeast went over. Oh. So, you know, and so we taped it, but we missed like the last half of the episode. And things like that. And then I ended up getting, you know, I'd be what, 12, 13, and I got a TV in my room. So I'd like stay up on Friday night trying to wait up so it would come on. And then I'd fall asleep just before it's about to start, you know, things like that. But that was always something that Hayley and I did together.
I remember one time I was stuck in the US in a hotel room waiting for the next flight or something like this. And there was this, I don't remember which season it was, but they were showing it that night, the whole season. But it was a new season that hadn't yet come out in Australia, so so I did actually want to watch it. And it was on a subscriber channel.
Oh yeah.
And there were these two blokes, they would just spend hours and hours and hours talking about how great Red Dwarf was and you should pay now and so I'd be flicking between channels, waiting for it to turn up, and then I turn back and these guys are still there.
Still talking about how good it is.
Red Dwarf is fantastic. You come and subscribe. Yeah.
Oh, no, my God.
Back to watching something else.
No, what I'm thinking is it might actually be a public channel because in the US, because the Conservative government's treating anything like it's socialism unless it's the police. So maybe it was the public TV station because they need to basically beg for money from everybody all the time.
Yes, they were begging for money.
Yes, yeah, that's probably what was happening.
Yeah, so they had this PBS one thing. Yeah. That was the one thing they were going to show today was just...
If enough people paid enough money.
Incredible.
I had to go to a party with my parents because I was the only kid there, being my parents being so adult than their other friends. Then their nerdiest friend was just like, oh yeah, Gypsy can watch this, it's fine. And initially put on Spirited Away, and then directly afterwards they're like, now watch this. And that's how I watched Red Dwarf. I binge watched two seasons while all the adults got really drunk. Yeah.
So early series, later series. Yes. You said series 5 was sort of in its heyday.
I think that was when it got really big. And I'm thinking, is that the one that had the gunman of the apocalypse?
No, that was actually the 6th season.
That's 6th season. So I think 6 seasons when they were like winning awards and it was getting really. And I think 5th season they were on the precipice of that.
Yeah, I think what I think of it is basically like the highest point was seasons 2 and 3. And that's mostly because there's a series I watched the most. So maybe just a bias. But basically, I think, 2 through 5 were the best series. And 6 was average. 7 was the worst. And I haven't watched the most recent ones made.
I think seasons 2 to 6 to me were the best. Yeah. Season 1 was okay, but they were still finding their feet.
There's a lot with the first season, yeah.
So I really disagree with that. I think that season 1 was definitely their heyday, like between 1 and 3.
Oh, really?
They were getting really good. And that's where I would count them as a cult classic. Because they were indie, they were underground, they were different, they were doing things that not many people were really doing in the first place, and that counts them as a cult classic. The moment that you start creating a formula that the masses love and all flock in and start watching, it takes away from that cultiness and just turns it into Home and Away, but in space, enjoy. And that's totally where they end up going, I think.
They did over time a little bit that way.
I think a pivotal episode, though, was that the Crichton episode. I remember when that episode started and it's like at the end, instead of having the update from Holly that they used to have at the beginning of the episodes, it was just like, da-da-da-da, and it was like Crichton. And we're like, what are we about to watch? Like, what's going on? And I mean, God, it's a good episode.
Yes, but it's a good episode.
I think at first we were kind of going, oh, like, there's a robot, like, is this going to work? But I think, because I mean, then Crichton didn't actually come back as a proper member until third season.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's probably why I liked Crichton as part of the team. Yeah. So I think my favourite episodes were the ones with Crichton. But then I love Cat in the first series.
The first series is really good. Yeah. And then he loses it immediately next.
He integrates. He's very much his own character. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very different from the rest of the characters, and he doesn't kind of interact with them, and then he becomes part of the team, which is not really cat-like.
No, it didn't work as well. Yeah. I much preferred him when he was much more cat-like.
So that's one of the best things about the first season.
See, I'm hearing a lot of season one's better than all the others now.
Different strengths.
I think I would like my award for being always right.
I just spent 5 minutes talking about how good the first episode of season two was.
And then you turned around and went, you know what? Actually, I agree. It's not my fault that I'm right. Just accept it, Lisa.
I'm accepting it. Acceptance.
I don't think I ever really knew what to do with Cat, because like at least series 9 Back to Earth, which was dreadful, they completely butchered Cat's character. So they went off of the Cat just thinking differently to Cat being a complete and utter drooling imbecile. He had no intelligence whatsoever, no actual independence. He was just the monkey of the group, basically.
I just realised I don't actually remember anything from that series at all.
He doesn't really do much. Back to Earth. I'm thinking of when they went back to the dwarf. Back to Earth, he didn't really do much.
The really recent episodes, what they've done is they've tried to go back to the original, and it partially works, where each episode is just completely independent. There's no storyline. It's just completely independent episodes that are just generic.
They try and go back to that kind of series 3, 4, 5 sort feel.
Yeah, I think what they need to understand is there's only so many times you can flog a dead horse.
Yes.
And I that's a lesson that the entirety of the Midian Stew now needs to know.
And that's why I was really reluctant to do Red Dwarf, because as you can tell, I had so much love for it, you know, for such a long time. And the idea that they'd be coming back and doing more episodes was just, oh, it's like a dream come true.
But it's always a mixed bag. It's always been like that. Even back in series 3 or something, you'd be watching one and going, that's the best thing ever, and the next one would just be cringy just be terrible.
I think if you're willing to go back and watch stuff, it's literally got to be in the sense that you're happy to see those characters no matter the situation. Otherwise it just ruins the entire thing.
Comedy is always about the characters and the attachment to the characters. So I often find watching a comedy series, it's funnier the second time I watch it than the first time, because by the second time I've developed that attachment to the characters.
Yes.
I have a lot of
which, interestingly enough, that mentality comes from the musical industry.
Right.
So when the musical started coming out in 1920s, that is exactly what they went for, is the relationship between audience and actor. It's funny how that's kind of carried along into comedy now.
Yeah.
I recently wrote an essay.
That's prevalent just through early cinema in general, though, because a lot of early cinema, it was like all the westerns and stuff were big posters of the male star with their name big above it, and the movie title was just kind of small.
Completely disagree. Purely because when you see those posters, you're looking at spaghetti westerns. You're not looking at classic American westerns.
No, I'm looking classic at just movies from the 1930s.
Well, okay, the thing is, right, the Great Depression had a really, really big thing going on, and so that's changed the movie industry. So you started getting more of that, but it was still only in development. Whereas initially when the musicals came out, that was their main focus, was the audience between the two. Spaghetti Westerns came out, and then they started following a little bit within that formula, but not by much. They are very, very different.
Right.
Early Westerns.
I'm thinking like 1930s Italian films.
They're still...
Are they still regarded as Westerns?
They're spaghetti Westerns.
The spaghetti Westerns.
Yes. Yeah. Italian Westerns are counted as spaghetti Westerns.
Like, I'm not thinking cowboys at all.
Just generally right. Italian just movies. They are,
generally. Generally Italian movies is different.
They're the big star ones. That's all I'm... Western was a misspeak.
No, because...
Western as in comparison to like Japanese.
Okay.
Western media.
Okay. Sorry, I recently watched 1930s. A whole heap of Westerns as well.
Yeah, no, that's totally justified.
And Italy did start producing their own Westerns at that time, so it's confusing.
Yeah.
Justin's crying.
Okay, so we'll get on and watch Quarantine, Season 5, Episode 4. And
I wish I brought my Mr. Flibble.
So what's it famous for? Mr. Flibble.
Mr. Flibble, and I have a Mr. Flibble, and tonight I was tearing my house apart trying to find him. I reckon he's in my daughter's toy room, and she doesn't understand the significance of Mr. Flibble because
I think you're lucky not to have Mr. Flibble.
Oh,
have you shown character. Mackenzie Red Dwarf yet?
No,
I was watching Red Dwarf at her age. Like,
why haven't
season
you
one mostly a perk? Yeah, I was
at
watching
seven.
All sorts
used to fast forward.
Black Books, Red Dwarf.
Yeah, I might give her. I might give her another
they
4 or 5 years
old
before
because
Red Dwarf.
I watched Black Books when it was originally aired, and I was 13.
I was like 5. War and Peace was on the TV at that time.
Okay, let's get on and watch
it. Let's get on with it.
Get on with it and watch the show.
Yeah.
So welcome back. And we've just been watching Season 5, Episode 4, Quarantine of Red Dwarf.
I was thinking, was the choice of the episode anything to do with the fact that we're in COVID times right now or not?
COVID times? No.
It's very appropriate.
Yes. Yeah. We're not in quarantine right now. But
Half the country is.
So you said before that you actually have a puppet of Mr. Flibble.
I have a Mr. Flibble.
Do you have the dress?
I don't have the dress, but one of my dreams was that, you know, if I had a fancy dress party, I'd want to try and get my hands on the dress. And then I've got the Mr. Flibble.
You've got to have the wig with the hair.
Yes. I always wanted to do it, but now if I did it now, it would only really be a niche group that would get the reference, I think. So.
Yeah.
It'd be less.
Yeah.
The people that got it would really get it. It's like,
yes.
It's like we were saying, I've got a cunning plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when I was working, the theme for the staff Christmas party one year was H. And so my friends and I go around and go, Red Dwarf fan.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, 94, so it was probably at its peak.
Yes.
Oh, Red Dwarf, yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so what do people think of the episode? It's been a while since we've seen it. Gypsy.
Yeah,
it was okay.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the better episodes, so I think it's like, I think it's hard not to like it.
Yeah.
Mm.
One of the things about it is that it's incredibly low budget.
Mm.
And so things like the special effects and things were really
the glowing
just
jars
awful. They were awful at the time.
But that was the remastered one. They'd gone back and fixed that.
Oh, right. Is that the fixed one?
I could tell by the end credits. The end credits are a bit different when it's for the...
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So even fixed it's pretty antique looking.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
But, you know, still the acting and the fun that they project off there is really good. I guess people looking at it now might view it as a bit aged. I mean, we're just looking at it fairly low quality. But overall, what do you think audiences would make of that now? Angus? What do you think your friends would...
A lot of Red Dwarf's humour originates in knowing the people that are being mentioned.
Mm.
Yeah.
And as someone who doesn't particularly... you may have picked this up previously, but as someone who doesn't particularly care about actors' names or names of people in general, a lot of that humour's lost on me because I don't know people. I recognised that he said Thatcher at one moment, but that was about the only recognition of any name.
Yeah, I don't think I recognised any names other than Thatcher.
What were the other names, though? I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Were there references in there?
I think they were.
It's always like one that in order to upset them, he'd play music from a specific artist. And that was the joke.
Yeah.
I don't think that artist exists, though. I think they just make those names up.
I think they make them up.
Yeah. He's known for liking Hammond organ music, so.
There was a name drop of a couple of individuals on the ship, I think it was, on the Starbug before they landed.
Mm-hmm.
That was completely lost on me. Yeah. So a couple of small things like that.
Mm. Yeah.
I think the premise itself, though...
The premise itself is a funny premise, that's the thing. The rest of it is fun.
And that's why I don't get... But to me, there's no need to Americanize that. That's standalone funny. Yeah. Like, it would just be, yeah, like references that don't mean anything 25 years later. But otherwise, it's, it's on point.
And, you know, the acting remains fairly cheesy and they're just having a good time.
There were none of them were actors. Yeah. I think Robert Llewellyn was the only actor that was on the show. Yeah.
Well, I know Chris Barry did stuff for...
He was an impersonator. Yeah. He was not a... He wasn't a comedian. He wasn't an actor. He was an impersonator.
Right, yeah.
Like, he used to do, like, Spitting Image and things like that, where he'd do, like, voice impersonations. Yeah, he voiced Reagan and such. Yeah, yeah. Craig Charles was a beat poet. Danny John-Jules was a dancer. And then, yeah, Hattie Hayridge and Norman Lovett were stand-up comedians. Yeah. And then, yeah, Robert Llewellyn was the only actor.
Yeah, I think he then went on to do Scrap Heap Challenge.
Yeah, it was like the Robot Wars or something.
Scrap Heap Challenge thing where they build some robot or something to attack the other team.
It's literally called Robot Wars. Oh, so I did get the name right, did I? He did Robot Wars.
As well.
Craig Charles did Robot Wars. Robert Llewellyn did Scrap Heap Challenge.
Oh,
yeah, I knew there were two different shows.
You're quite right.
So the downside is you've mentioned all these people by name, and like Angus, I don't know who on God's green earth you're talking about.
Oh, sorry. We'll refer to them all by their acting, their role names from now on, guys. And you know what? I get it, because when we do other shows like Babylon 5 and stuff like that, and you guys talk about these actors, I'm like,
Mira Furlan.
Smile and nod. I have no idea.
So, yes, Lister ran Robot Wars, and Crichton was a Scrap Heap Challenge.
I remember watching
The character was a Scrap Heap Challenge as well. Oh, just a Scrap Heap, either way.
I think we'll all have to get that outfit and...
I just wish I could find my Mr. Flipple. He was somewhere. I just tore the house apart. Get
people working in the hotel quarantine just to walk around in those outfits.
No one would get the reference.
It
would be worth it.
But I guess to me, during that period, it was beginning to get... They actually were trying to do a little bit of horror in those series. You know, they actually had episodes which started out quite scary, and that was, I guess, one of them, where they're walking into some virus horror scenario.
Yeah.
Season 3 onwards, I think, they had a little mix of some of those kind of horror episodes. The polymorph and things like that,
And polymorph was definitely very alien.
Polymorph season 2 or 3? Was 3,
Because Clyde was in it.
Yeah, and that was very much an alien. Like, I think even to the point where one of the episodes, it does, like, its mouth opens and the little sucker comes out like alien.
And then drains.
Lots of references in Red Dwarf. Full of references to everything. Lots of various different sci-fi things.
Sci-fi things. We're not even Mickey Mouse, we're Betty Boop. There's an operation.
I didn't get that one either. I don't know who Betty Boop
is. Oh, that was like a 1920s cartoon character.
She was a flapper.
She'd look like, I think, because she's on a lot of
Betty Boop
popular culture.
She's got a massive eyes, and she's wearing the flapper style, sort of 1920s.
Right, okay.
I think the second you see her, you'd be like, oh.
I didn't think that line was very funny, though, to be honest. That always gave Kat the dud lines.
She's not that great.
And I think that's the point. Not even Mickey Mouse operation. We're not even Betty Boop.
Yeah.
Kat had some good lines, though, in the beginning when he's very cat-like and chipping the window.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
the fish.
Yes, fish. Today's fish is trout a la creme. Fish. the one we used to always do is like, you know, when you've got the air freshening, you're like, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, all this is mine. Except for that little spot there. I don't want that bit. I love it. The cat-like stuff.
Yes.
And then they gave him some sort of sixth sense, so his cat senses would tingle or something like that.
He was good at piloting the ship because he could sense the asteroids or something like
something
that.
It was like this. What are you doing with this character?
He almost needed a purpose, didn't he? And
they're trying to find a purpose for him, having removed it in the after the first series. And then they went back a bit later on.
In that last special, the two-parter, that he's more cat-like.
One.
The Promised Land.
That was recently? That was 2-3 years ago?
Last year.
I didn't watch that one.
2020, yeah.
I was at the episode this today, so that's the reason why I know.
Yeah, when we first started watching it, I was wondering if this was going to be any good, and it didn't start out with any of the characters you recognised, so you're wondering, this is not looking great. But it came good.
Yeah, it was better than I expected.
It came good, yeah.
But my expectations weren't high.
The last kind of movie-like special they did was Back to Earth.
Which was awful.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing was filmed on the Coronation Street set.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think Lister was in Coronation Street at the time. I think he still is now, isn't he?
I don't
know. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Is he I thought he was EastEnders.
No, Coronation Street. Oh, it might have been both. I don't know. I know it was definitely Coronation Street.
Isn't that mid-north or north?
So I think it's
probably Coronation Street.
Set around where my parents are from, I think. Because my growing up, you know, there was always lots of Coronation Street around when I was a kid. And it sounds a lot like both my parents' sets of families, you know, that real northern accent.
So what kind of character does he play in Coronation Street? Does he play the same character? Or?
I don't watch Coronation Street.
You haven't seen any footage of him? No.
He
plays a curry-eating dude that slob that sold a spaceship 3 million years in the future. I don't know.
Oh dear! I'm not sure I want to investigate that one.
No. Yeah, no, best we
can. I don't think my investigating shoes go that far.
As much as Coronation Street's a cult show, I don't think it's one that we're really going to investigate, is it?
So, Angus, what did that episode get out of 5.7?
Oh, I don't know.
Or what kind of food was it?
Vindaloo.
Vindaloo and lager.
Yeah, Vindaloo and lager.
It's another Vindaloo and lager.
It's a Vindaloo and lager, definitely.
Yeah, I think food
one
this time is easy.
Yeah. Or it could be sprouts if you don't particularly like the show.
Sprout crumble.
Don't mind sprouts, but...
Sprout crumble, maybe not.
Yeah, less so. No, I think Vindaloo and lager is good. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so Vindaloo and lager episode.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Flubal.
Actually, maybe I shouldn't go with that one. Because, to quote one of the episodes, the only thing that can ruin a good Vindaloo is a lager.
Yeah,
no, kill a Vindaloo is a lager. Because a Vindaloo monster was attacking them instead of lager. It wasn't
like it destroys it, as in like a bad thing. It's like it, I think it takes the heat out of it.
Yeah, that's what they meant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they attack the heat
off. Right, okay.
So it works.
Okay. Makes it less potent.
If it ever becomes a monster attacking your crew.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Fire a can at Vindaloo at it.
Yeah.
We're going on next week with next month.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
It feels like
next episode.
Next episode we're doing Lex, aren't we?
Lex. It's my choice. And because the previous episodes, my choices have always been good, I decided to pick a show which I hope you hate. Because I was mentioning before, like...
I've seen Lex before.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's an obscure thing. I'll introduce it to you when we get to
Lex Luthor?
You've
got no idea what it is.
Lucky
so far, I guess.
And you know what? Alex always picks really good shows.
Which is why I actually picked a bad one this time.
Oh, to try and make me feel better because I had such a bad run.
Partly, yes. Yeah. Partly because I want to actually, you know, even the score.
It's fun.
And next year, Stargate SG-1.
Yeah, I was going to pick, wasn't it? I still don't know what episode I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it from Classic Cult TV Club. Yeah. I'll say goodbye.
Okay. Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Smoke me... What is it? Smoke me a slipper.
Smoke me a kipper. I'll be back for
Christmas. No, smoke me a slipper. I'll be back for Christmas.
Smoke me a slipper. No.
That's season 7?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wade leaves. And, yeah.